Quite a few students have said that they have trouble with the skill of planning experiments. So that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm actually not at all surprised about this difficulty. Many teachers and other experienced chemists have exactly the same problem. What seems a brilliant idea might, and frequently does, run into all sorts of problems when put into practice. So take heart. No one expects you to be able to write a faultless set of practical instructions. What you can do, however, is to plan parts of a procedure given the general framework. It's important to realise in doing this what needs to be included. In a practical assessment, more marks are lost through omissions than through errors. There are so many different kinds of laboratory experiment that it's almost impossible to give a helpful account of how to plan all of them. So instead of attempting this, I'm going to get you to look closely at one particular set of practical instructions for an experiment which you may already have done. The purpose of the exercise is to make some crystals of a double salt. The separate salts are made in the first and second stages and then mixed to give a solution of the double salt. The making of both of the salts involves sulfuric acid. Equal amounts of sulfuric acid are required for both salts, which is why 50 centimetres cubed are taken and then divided into two equal parts. This is a planning point which you probably wouldn't have thought of, but we ought to think about the next instruction. One portion of the acid is measured into a conical flask. Ask yourself, will it go in? Well, yes, it will, because you've chosen a decent-sized flask. Conical flasks are useful in preparations because you lose less liquid by evaporation, and with care, you can handle them by the neck and swirl to mix the contents. The proper name, by the way, is an Erlenmeyer flask. Try this out on your teacher sometime, but don't be surprised if you get a blank look. As Michael Caine used to say, not a lot of people know that. The flask and its contents are heated to boiling. Why? Because the reaction with iron is slow at room temperature. The flask is then put on a heat-proof mat before adding the iron filings. Why? Because if you add any powdered solid to a boiling liquid, it froths up quite violently. In this case, a gas is given off, so the effect is potentially even more dangerous. The acid might spray out of the flask, so a cotton wool plug is put into the mouth of the flask. Another good reason for using a conical flask. You couldn't do that with a beaker. This reaction is obviously quite slow, so time is allowed for it to take place. If this were an organic preparation, we might consider using a reflux condenser to avoid evaporation, because the reaction mixture would probably be more volatile than the water-based ingredients here. You filter the mixture to remove any unreacted iron. In the second stage, you add ammonia solution to sulfuric acid until a litmus paper strip turns blue. We will then have added slightly too much ammonia, so you boil off the excess. Ammonia is a gas and can be boiled off, whereas the ammonium sulfate in the solution is ionic and therefore doesn't evaporate. In the third step, you mix the two solutions. All that remains is to get the double salt to crystallise from the solution. A question about how to do this has been asked several times, and yet candidates still get it wrong. You don't need dehydrating agents or sophisticated equipment. What you do is first to concentrate the solution by boiling off some of the water present. You need to leave some water because the crystals of the double salt are hydrated. Next, you leave the solution to cool and crystallise in a Petri dish or other suitable container, covered to keep the dust out. After 24 hours or so, the crystals will have formed, but there should still be some solution left. The crystals can be picked out or filtered off and dried on absorbent paper. The procedure, in brief, is this. Concentrate the solution by evaporation, leave to cool and crystallize, filter or pick out the crystals, dry on absorbent paper. Now, you won't get this wrong, will you? No experimental planning is complete without a mention of safety. It's very important to check with your teacher before starting any experiment which you planned. In this experiment, there were three main hazards. The sulfuric acid is being used at 2m concentration, about four times the recommended maximum for GCSE. But you are older and hopefully wiser now, so you must learn to cope safely with hazardous materials. Eye protection, obviously, and general care to avoid spillages. Ammonia is poisonous in large quantity, but very little is involved here. A fume hood or good ventilation is all that's necessary here. I've already mentioned the frothing up hazard. The most up-to-date information about hazards can be obtained from publications such as Hazcards. But you can look up safety information in the Book of Data, but it isn't obvious how to find it. Pause the recording while you look out your copy of the Book of Data. Tables 5.3 and 5.5 have safety notes, but they're in coded form. The key to the various abbreviations is on page 55. Try looking up nitric acid, HNO3, on pages 74 and 75, and look at the notes column. Can you see that it says C, PV, brackets 10? Now, turn to page 55 to find out what that means. C means corrosive material, and PV means it has a poisonous vapour. The 10 means that a concentration of 10 centimetres cubed of nitric acid vapour in 1 million centimetres cubed of air is a working safe limit permitted by law. I haven't said anything about calculating quantities. This was built into the experiment we looked at just now as a specific requirement. The calculations invite you to think in terms of fractions of a mole. 1/20th is often appropriate, making sure that the quantities you choose will actually go into the apparatus you specify. The best advice I can give you about how to learn experimental planning is to ask yourself, or your teacher if necessary, whenever you are doing practical work, why am I doing things this way, with this apparatus and with these quantities? Don't just follow the instructions slavishly. Practical work takes a lot of time, but it is time well spent if you think about what's going on, rather than discussing what's for lunch.